It is time again to pull up a chair and be part of the Warren County Radio Bible School. And if you'll get your Bibles, you'll want to open it to the book of Luke. And we'll be studying primarily from Luke. We're looking at some background material right now. We're in the study of the life of Christ, the life of Jesus. And we're talking about a harmony of the Gospels. But particularly, we're talking now about the birth of Jesus, as it is mentioned in the book of Luke. And in our last class, we were talking about Luke's particular testimony that he wrote in the book of Luke. You see, we have the book of Matthew, and Matthew, being one of the apostles, was an eyewitness of many of the things of which he wrote. Mark was a companion of many of those who were witnesses and may have been witnesses himself. John was one of the apostles, and he was a witness of many of the things that he wrote. But Luke was not one of those witnesses. He was not there when Jesus was performing these miracles and doing the teachings in Galilee and Judea that we read about in the book of Luke. We have the stories from Matthew, Mark, and John. And you might think, wouldn't it be nice if someone could have gone there and checked all this out? And that is what Luke did. And because of Luke's writings, we can have a certainty of those things which are written. Notice how Luke began. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. For as much as many have taken in hand to draw up a narrative concerning those matters which have been fulfilled among us, even as they delivered them unto us, who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having traced the course of events from all things accurately from the first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know the certainty concerning the things wherein thou wast instructed. It is that certainty which we seek, and which Luke provides us. And many would say, oh, I wish I had greater faith. And the way to have greater faith is to spend time in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and look at how credible their testimonies are. They are marvelous things to which they testify, but the nature of their testimony is so credible that it gives us a certainty of those things. It is thought that Luke wrote his gospel under Paul's influence at Caesarea, and Acts of the Apostles under the same influence at Rome. And this may be so. In fact, it's interesting how Luke writes from the very beginning all the way to the time when Paul is in prison awaiting trial at Rome, and he's writing to Theophilus, the most excellent Theophilus. That was a way you would address someone who was in a government position, in a position of honor, like we talk about a judge, your honorable judge. We could say your honor when talking to that judge. And so Luke may have been preparing these documents for Theophilus so he would have a good understanding of all things that had taken place before Paul went to trial before Nero Caesar. Now we've got some more things we want to talk about by way of background. But before I do, I need to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, in looking at these background notes, in Elam's notes, I'm looking at the Sunday school lessons he wrote for July the 6th, 1924. We're going to have a section here on Herod the Great. Now, he was not great in regards to spiritual things, that is for certain. He was great in the way that we talk about Alexander the Great. or maybe one of the rulers of ancient Rome and or of Russia. What was his name? The great Tsar. They called him the Great. He was great in worldly things, and Herod did do a lot of great worldly things, but of course Herod was a very evil and cruel man. And it can get confusing reading about Herod in the New Testament. There is a whole family of Herods. Herod the Great is that great king who was ruling when Christ was born, and the one that massacred the infants in Bethlehem trying to destroy Jesus. And he died soon after Jesus was born. But there are seven Herods mentioned in the New Testament. There's Herod the king that we were just speaking of, but there's also Archelaus, his son and successor. And it was because he became king after Herod the Great, you remember, that Joseph did not want to return to Judea, but instead came out of Egypt and went into Nazareth. It was outside of the realm of Archelaus, Herod, so that he felt safer there in Nazareth. There's Herod Antipas. He became the Tetrarch of Galilee, a son of Herod the Great, Herod Philip the First, and another son of Herod the Great, and lawful husband of Herodias, who was his half-niece. There is Herod Philip the Second, we read about in Luke chapter 3 and verse 1. He was a son of Herod the Great, and built Caesarea Philippi, and married Salome, his brother Philip's daughter. She was the girl that danced before Herod Antipas. Herod Agrippa the First, the son of Aristobulus, and grandson of Herod the Great, who beheaded James, and who seized Peter, with the purpose of killing him also. But he was also eaten of worms, Acts 12, verses 1 through 3, and verse 23. There is Herod Agrippa the Second, before whom Paul made his famous defense in Acts chapters 25 and 26. And it is easy to get these Herods confused. And it's not always necessary to make sure we have that distinction. We're not just interested in the details of history. It's enough to know that the Herods were rulers in around Judea and in Galilee during that time, and they were powerful but wicked men. The Herods were aliens by race, Jews in religion, and Romans in politics. Herod the king is so distinguished him from the other Herods because he was made king in Judea by the Romans. Josephus is the one that calls him Herod the Great. He was the son of Antipater, an Idumean, and Cyrus, an Arabian of noble descent. Antipater was made procurator of Judea by Julius Caesar 47 years before this time. Any authentic Bible dictionary gives the life of Herod and how he became king. He was a bloodthirsty, corrupt, and cruel wretch. It is said that his household murder stained his own hearth again and again. His nearest relatives, friends, companions, aged men, unoffending women were slain one by one, in one way or another, before the slaughter of the children in Herod's attempts to destroy the child Jesus. Moved by jealousy, he slew two high priests, an uncle of his favorite wife, three sons, and many others. When at the point of death, he caused to be thrown into prison a number of his most illustrious subjects, one from every family, and ordered that they should be put to death the moment he expired, in order that there might be tears shed when he died, for he knew his death would be an occasion of rejoicing instead of mourning. This order, however, was not given out. Now here's another person we need to know in regard to the background of these stories of Jesus, and that is Augustus Caesar. Let me read this account from Luke chapter 2, and I want to read verses 1 through 6. And here we have, "Now it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment made when Quirinus was governor of Syria, and all went to enroll themselves, every one in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to enroll himself with Mary, who was betrothed to him, being great with child. And it came to pass, while they were there, the days were fulfilled that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Who is this Augustus Caesar? Well, Augustus was the second of the 12 Caesars, and the first emperor of Rome. He was the grandnephew and successor of Julius Caesar, and was Caesar Octavius until Rome conferred upon him the title of Augustus 27 years before this, or B.C. 27. On his victory over Antony in Actium, he entered into supreme power, and from that time was master of the Roman world. Rejoiced at his victories over his enemies, he closed the temple of Janus, which stood open in time of war, for the third time in 700 years, and declared universal peace. During his reign, Rome enjoyed the golden age. This, then, was a fit time for the birth of the Prince of Peace. In those days, perhaps just after the birth of John the Baptist, Augustus declared that all the world should be enrolled preliminary to taxation. Some think all the world here means the Roman Empire, but more probably it means the Jewish nation. There is also mentioned in this passage Quirinius. Quirinius was consul from B.C. 12 and was governor of Syria after the banishment of Archelaus in A.D. 6. He was probably twice governor in Syria. His governorship extended from B.C. 4 in the year of Christ's birth to B.C. 1. It was during this time that he was sent to make enrollment, which caused Joseph and Mary to visit Bethlehem. This was the first enrollment. The second is mentioned in Acts chapter 5 and verse 37. And where were they enrolled? While the Romans required registration in the place of residence, the Jews were permitted to follow their own customs, and all went to enroll themselves, every one, in his own city. And that's why Joseph went to Bethlehem. Joseph went from Nazareth in Galilee, a distance of about 80 miles to the south, because he was of the house and of the family of David, and Bethlehem was the city of David. Bethlehem means house of bread. It was an old city, 6 miles south of Jerusalem. Its early name was Ephrath, or Ephartha. Here Jacob buried his beloved Rachel. And we read about that in Genesis 35, 6 through 19, and Genesis 48, 7. And that's the first time we read about Bethlehem. But here also Ruth lived after her famous decision to cling to Naomi. And here she gleaned from the fields of Boaz. Here David was born and reared. He learned here to sing psalms, and here he served as a shepherd lad and fed his father's flocks more than 1,000 years before the birth of the great shepherd and bishop of the souls. And we read in the prophecy that is quoted in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 6, that Bethlehem was little among the thousands of Judea, but out of him would come a ruler whose goings forth was from old and everlasting.